relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends, America First, one-on-one with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. And we have a guest today who, I don't, there's a theme lately with our special guests. If I'm caught with them outside the studio, it is most likely either at the gun range or smoking a cigar. And with this current guest, it could be either. He is one of the Daily Wire's superstar. He is the author of a fabulous book called Speechless, Michael Knowles. Welcome back to America First.
Excellent to be with you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is a delight. Your book has now just been released in paperback, which is a very, very good sign. We have so much to discuss in addition to your colleague Matt Walsh's new movie, What is a Woman, which I'll get to see as soon as somebody at the Daily Wire sends me a screener.
We've been a little derelict on the screeners, but I have to tell you, especially because I do not get any cut of the subscription business, I really think they should just release this movie for free. You know, if I got a cut, it would be different. But since I don't, they should.
Well, we know what the Daily Wire is about. We know Jeremy Boring just sucks in talent from around the planet and then builds this subscription empire. But you are one of the originals. For those who aren't familiar with his work, shame on you. But let's have a little introduction here at the beginning. Who is Michael Knowles and how did you get to do what you do today?
I may be the only guy in the history of podcasting and show business who got his own show for not writing a book. It was very kind of you to plug my book, Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. That book took a very long time to write because it had words in it. My first foray into the national political media was with a book called Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide, 260 blank pages, endorsed by our favorite president, Donald Trump, endorsed by a number of other people as being really, really thorough. And that book, which was just a joke that I put out there, did become a number one bestseller. New York Times didn't want to acknowledge that one either. And then somehow, for not writing a book, I ended up getting my own show out of it. And I think, by the way, my book is proven more and more correct every single day. So it is a pretty comprehensive apologia.
I have a mea culpa here. I have been sent by a colleague of yours, initials MH, a screener code for What is a Woman. So thank you, Mark. I still want to know why the top of your Twitter feed has the What is the Woman logo, since you're not in it. It's not your movie and you don't get a percentage, but I guess you're a team player. Now I am going to watch it. We will discuss the movie I am in that I get a percentage of, that is 2000 Mules, that I know you've watched. And I'm so annoyed that I asked you to talk about yourself and then you had to remind me about that bloody empty book that made you an overnight sensation. I still can't believe it actually happened. When you went to your publisher and you said, I'm going to publish a book with nothing in it, why weren't you escorted out of the building by the security guards?
Well, you know, it's even better than that. Back in those halcyon days of 2017, I uploaded the book myself. It was self-published through the Amazon Creative Services. I think it was probably the best-selling book that's ever been put out there. My fiance, now wife, fiance at the time, told me to stop wasting my time on such a stupid joke. And then, of course, that joke came to pay for our wedding. Shortly after the book hit number one, I think Amazon basically folded up that side of its venture. So I may have broken Amazon with my blank book.
That is a delightful story. Now I never want to discuss it again in the future of our relationship because I actually wrote books, not for a living, but I've written three of them. And, you know, it's like sweating blood. I'm a fast writer, but I hate the idea of writing. So I like to have books that have words in them. The latest one is Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. We're going to talk about the content of that book. But in the meantime, Michael J. Knowles is the Twitter account. of course, michaeljknowles.com. But seriously, let's go a little bit deeper. So outside of this ridiculous book you published, how did you get into this business? Because I know you as a hail fellow well met. I know you as somebody that you can have a great philosophical discussion in, if theological, your fellow mackerel snapper like me, share a good cigar. So how did you end up when you're not giving lectures for, what is it, Young America's Foundation, correct?
Yes, they run my campus lecture tour. A few other groups
right.
do.
Your amazing campus. I mean, Ben Shapiro, you know, he could learn a thing or two from you, and I hope you'll quote me to him.
I say it all the time.
but tell us, you know, your backstory. Tell me your family background and how you got involved in this, you know, fighting for the truth, Mike.
Well, you mentioned that I'm a fellow mackerel snapper, a fellow papist such as yourself. I was a cradle Catholic, but I was raised in a very liberal environment, very liberal community, you know, in New York. We took the faith seriously at some points, but at other times it was a little more cafeteria style. And by the time I was 13, I would have called myself an atheist, certainly an agnostic, probably more an atheist. I never went through a particularly liberal phase, little shades of it here and there, but I would have called myself certainly secular or atheistic. I'm one of the rare people who, having gone to a very liberal college, ended up being radicalized to the right and then radicalized toward Christianity. And
by your fellow students or by professors or both? What was it? I'm curious.
It was fellow students, and I met a handful who were very, very thoughtful conservatives, not merely the kind of cut my taxes and leave me alone conservatives, but who thought in a deeper, more comprehensive way about what it really, truly means to be a conservative. And then I met very thoughtful Christians. And, you know, a lot of my classmates, I just saw them at my 10th college reunion. It was a little bit of a chilly welcome there from some of my more left-wing classmates. But, you know, these were generally intelligent people. They probably had a pretty high IQ. But I noticed that their arguments about religion, about culture, about politics were just so weak compared to the arguments that I was being presented with by my conservative classmates and certainly by the Christians. And so after a period of, I don't know, a year to 3 years, intellectually, I was convinced God exists. And once you're convinced of that, then you have to confront the Bible. You need to deal with the Bible. Is God really like the God of the Bible? And then you have to confront Christ. You know, is Christianity what it purports to be? And after this long period, you know, some people are so blessed they just get it kind of intuitively. And then some of us, God needs to shake us by our shoulders and say, hey, listen, idiot, pay attention. This is the way the world really is.
Well, wasn't it C.S. Lewis? And I mean, you're probably far better equipped than me, but I think it was C.S. Lewis who says, it's a very simple question. We know Jesus existed. I mean, you know, Roman documents confirm that a guy from Nazareth was nailed to a tree for saying he's the king of the Jews. And the simple question that you have to ask yourself, there's three options. Either he was insane when he said, I am God and the Son of God, or he was lying, or he is actually God. And if he's the latter, you better change your life.
That's right. The Lord, the liar, or the lunatic. Those are the three options. And you will hear some people say, well, there's a fourth option. Actually, it could all just be a legend. And this is probably the most preposterous one of them all. We have so many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. We have so many corroborating documents, even beyond the Gospels. We just know that these things did happen.
A legend which changed the identity of the Roman Empire. That kind of made up legend, right?
Right. It's not really plausible to believe those sorts of things. And so I arrived at the conclusion that I think is most logical, which is that he really is who he says he is. And, you know, this would have been about age 23, 24. And all of that is a preface to say, and I had been working in politics and political campaigns, and I'd worked a little bit in show business. So that's kind of the professional side. But all of this to say, you know, for a long time, it was very fashionable in politics, especially on the right, to say, look, I keep my religion over here.
Yeah.
And then in a separate box, I keep my culture. In a separate box, I keep my politics and my economics and everything totally divided up and compartmentalized. But a society that compartmentalizes itself in that way is going to become schizophrenic. It's going to go insane. There actually has to be some correspondence here. You'll very often hear people say, you can't legislate morality. And I always wonder what that statement could even possibly mean. When we're talking about laws, whether we're talking about the death penalty or we're talking about parking tickets, we're talking about moral questions.
Yeah.
And we live in a self-government. So if we're not allowed to express our view of morality and have that influence the way that we want to live in our politics, then what the hell are we doing? Then we don't have self-government at all.
I'm sure it wasn't a leap from there directly to your empty book, which I refuse to mention one more time. So how did you creep into the public arena? What was that journey?
I had first started out working on a congressional campaign. I was probably about 19 years old at the time. And I really highly recommend this to young people who want to get involved in politics. Congressional campaigns are a great way to do it because you get national exposure and experience, but it's a local campaign, so you really learn the nitty-gritty of politics on the ground. And very often, they're not run very well, and they're all run on a shoestring, so
right.
You really will have a lot of responsibilities.
And
I got a bit of notoriety from that campaign and ended up being able to work on larger campaigns, and from there to contribute a little bit to commentary, and from there to be involved in the political media a little bit more. I made it out to Hollywood. And this, I would say, is one of the most important things if you want to have any success.
Stay there.
In
stay there.
Media.
Let's have a little teaser. Hold that thought. What the most important thing is. You're listening to America First, a one-on-one with Michael J. Knowles. He's the author of Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. If you enjoyed this show as much as we love making it, subscribe. Go to Spotify right now. It's free. Write a review, share the links, and never, ever miss a moment. If you haven't done so already, register for our Stand with Israel tour 10 days later this year with me, Dr. G, and my Salem colleague, the superlative Dinesh D'Souza. We are traveling to the Holy Land with our spouses for the trip of a lifetime. Israel got it all wrong. They have suspended all the COVID requirements. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going. So if you want to walk where our Lord and Savior literally walked the earth, join us this year for a trip you will not want to miss. You can call right now to reserve your places, 855-565-5519. Or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519. Or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA. Okay, we left them on tenterhooks. And yes, that is the correct spelling. What is it that you say was so crucial to your career? What happened in that Hollywood, strange part of the country?
Out there in Gomorrah by the Sea, the most important thing, I think, for people who want to have a career in political media is I would strongly recommend you be friends with Andrew Klavan, Jeremy Boring, and Ben Shapiro. If you just do that one weird trick, that will be helpful. And these were some of my earliest friends in Hollywood. And when they approached me about the Daily Wire, they said, you know, we're starting this blog with some podcasts. And I thought, here we go, another right-wing blog. And so, okay, maybe I'll be involved in some way. But I just never thought it was going to explode the way that it did. And frankly, I think it did mostly because of the left. I mean, all those guys are super smart and made a lot of smart decisions. But the left gave conservatives a huge opportunity over the past 5 or 6 years by taking away people's beloved cultural artifacts, by taking away entertainment, by taking away sports from people, by taking away venues where we can engage in the public square. So, that was a good opportunity. And, you know, Salem has done a great job capitalizing on this. The Daily Wire, I think, obviously has grown by leaps and bounds. And as long as the left keeps it up, I think the sky's the limit.
All right, let's talk about your book. It was a bestseller as hardback. Now it's out in paperback. It's called Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. And let's cut straight to the heart of the issue. There are those, the majority, sadly, of the commentariat on the right say, we've got to fight for freedom of speech. It's about the First Amendment. You have a slightly different take. And I think, in part, it's an assault on the mindless libertarians who think that freedom is the answer. No, if you're over the age of 10, you realize that you do whatever you want. It is the most puerile, asinine ideology out there, especially when you listen to people like, what's his name, Michael Malice. He says, oh, no police, no police. What about the rapes and the bank robberies, Michael? Well, there'll be those, but, you know, yeah, okay, reasons. Not very, very smart of you, Mr. Malice. Your argument is that we're not fighting for a value-free public square. It's not that, you know, the First Amendment is absolute. We are part of a civilization, the greatest civilization known to human history, and it is value-laden. So how does this apply to our response to political correctness? I want people to read the book, but how different is your rather iconoclastic approach?
It is iconoclastic, and I think it's important because I think that we should all at least be able to agree, and you put it very well, Seb, the way that we have fought this battle against political correctness, wokeness, cancel culture, whatever, the way we have fought it to date has failed. Yeah. We have drag queen shows for toddlers now in gay bars that their parents take them to.
In Texas! Whatever,
in Texas, for goodness sakes. So whatever we have done, this value neutral, we just want more speech, no limitations whatsoever, that has failed. And it's failed because it doesn't make any sense. There is no society ever in the whole history of the world that has not had standards, that has not had taboos, that has not had certain limits. The fight is not really a fight between total free speech on the one hand and total censorship on the other. It's about what the substance is that we're actually going to say.
So what should we be doing differently? So we know the values. We know what, you know, truth and beauty, your colleague Andrew's latest book. So how does our approach to the political correctness fascists change if you say it's not a value neutral, everybody gets to say everything? Give us some tips on how we react differently.
Well, the first practical step I would recommend is just enforcing some of the basic obscenity laws on
yes.
the books.
Yes.
We have lots of obscenity laws that are still on the books. We can enforce them. It's very popular to enforce them. And especially now with the parents' movement, you look at all these drag shows for little kids, there's a ton of support for doing that. This is actually why this question, what is a woman, is so important. In our society, a woman is either going to be a woman or a woman is going to be a man. Who thinks that he's a woman.
Yeah.
But the word is going to have some meaning. So we have to limit the meaning of the word. Words, that language itself is intrinsically limited. You know, there was this dust up the other day in Major League Baseball. There were five Tampa Bay Rays who did not want to wear the pride flag on their jerseys.
Yeah.
And they said, look, we like everyone. We don't want to be mean to anybody, but this just violates our religious beliefs. And a woman on ESPN, Sarah Spain, said that this cannot be tolerated. We need total tolerance. And in order to have tolerance, you can't tolerate intolerance. And do you know what, Seb? She's right. She's right. You actually can't tolerate everything. If we're going to live under the Rainbow Coalition LGBT ideology, then necessarily we're not going to tolerate parts of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and tradition. And you know what? If we're going to live under the traditional standards, then we're not going to tolerate transing the little kids in drag queen story hour. It's just that you have to set certain limits. And the left has no problem doing that. They've been doing that for well over 50 years, as I detail in the book. Conservatives, somewhere in the last few decades, we just lost our spine. We might have lost a few other anatomical features, too, certainly our brains. We need to be able to articulate that substance because freedom of speech in the abstract doesn't mean anything to people who don't have anything to say.
Yeah, it's not just spines, it's something else. It is the biggest problem we face as a nation, is the loss of courage. However, we here at Salem at America First, we celebrate Pride Month, and that is why you should get one of our LGBT t-shirts or mugs. It is the hottest new item on our website. Get it today, LGBT. It's got the rainbow colors. It's got the stars and stripes. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm into LGBT? Yes. Let's get Biden to quit. What did you think I was talking about? Yes, LGBT, get yours today. It's fabulous. Everything made in America. Get your t-shirts, get your mugs, get all of your Let's Go Brandon gear. Get the t-shirt that we made for the president coming on the show recently that says Ultra MAGA. Get all of your gear at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A store.com. Because we're proud too here. Proud to be Americans. And the book that we are discussing from my friend Michael Knowles is Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. We will continue to discuss, but while we are, please make sure that you have checked out, you have subscribed not only to his podcast, but also his Twitter feed. That's at Michael J. Knowles, Michael J. Knowles. Okay, let's discuss, since it is the top of your Twitter account, for some reason, somebody else's movie, it is What is a Woman? They hate this film. Matt Walsh's movie is driving the left insane. I think, and I've been saying this for a year, this is the issue. This is the issue that helps us take back the republic. It's not just the mama bears at the school district meetings. When we see young girls having their lives destroyed at the swim meets, being transitioned without the permission of their parents, double mastectomies, the hormone treatments, I think this is that catalytic moment where the scales fall from the eyes. Am I being too optimistic? Talk to us about the movie and how the transgender extremists could actually help us save the republic.
I don't think you're being too optimistic when we're talking about how people react to this issue. You're seeing obviously the Republicans, but lots of Democrats, lots of independents reacting and saying, no, this is too far. Keep the boys out of the girls' bathroom at school. The issue is the radicals on this ideology have all of the institutional power.
Yeah.
And so in the movie, Matt goes to the universities, he goes to the medical field, it goes to surgeons even, and asks them this basic question. They're the ones chopping up little kids. They're the ones putting the kids on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. And they can't provide an explanation to that very basic question. Very often, the answer will be, well, a woman is a person who identifies as a woman. But then the follow-up is, well, what is that? What is that that they are identifying as? And the reason this question is so important is because you can see it so graphically. It so pulls on your heartstrings. It's frankly, I saw the movie in one of the cuts. I was getting angry in the middle of the movie. I wanted to throw something at the TV screen. It was so disgusting what these people were doing to little kids. But the implications of it go so much deeper than just on gender. Because if in this case we can say, no, this is just wrong, then what that means is we can make moral judgments. And if we can make moral judgments, then what that means is not everyone gets to do just whatever anyone wants to do. It means when you look at Anthony Kennedy's decision in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, one of the most infamous, stupid Supreme Court decisions ever in history, in it he said, at the heart of liberty lies the right to define one's own concept of existence, the mystery of life. And that's just completely wrong.
It's garbage. Who is that candidate for president? I mean, it's like, here's my crystal. I mean, it's that
Marianne Williamson.
Marianne Williamson. That's from a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, that's right. The romantic poet Anthony Kennedy, he says that we have the right to define our own concept of existence. But of course, we do not. Instead, we have an obligation to accept reality. And that's the only way that we can live in a society. At the very basic level, to live in a society, we need to speak the same language. Language is not just speech, is not just one facet of politics. It's kind of the whole thing when we're talking about self-government. We persuade one another, we have debates, we decide how we want to live, then we pass laws, and that's what we live by. If we cannot agree on the most basic meanings of the most basic words, then we don't need to worry about potentially losing our society. We've already lost it.
Yeah. How much of this, as a man of faith, I need to ask you that, I look at what they're doing to our children, from the drag queen story hour to the mutilation, the doctors that are completely abnegating the Hippocratic Oath, mutilating these children, Michael, and I see only one thing behind it. This isn't politics. This is demonic. It's diabolical. You?
Of course it is. Ultimately, all politics comes down to religion. I think it was Cardinal Manning said that all human conflict ultimately is theological.
Yeah.
And so that's what it comes down to. You know, it's that first part of the Hippocratic Oath. First, do no harm.
Yeah.
And they are harming children. And the reason that we haven't been able to speak out against this in many ways earlier is because we're still pretending at some neutrality that has never existed. You talked about the mindless libertarians earlier. Well, that is a mindless idea. Every society necessarily has some vision of what's good and what's bad. And the most basic element of statecraft is do good and avoid evil. That's what you want to do. Yeah. And so you need to be able to articulate it. We all know, looking at this stuff, I mean, in the case of Drag Queen Story Hour, a lot of these people literally dress up as demons. So they're not really hiding the ball. You can't get too angry at the devil for deception here. They're coming right out with it. And we need to be able to say, no, we don't want the demons. We don't want the devil. We do want God. We do want goodness. And we have the right to say that.
Yeah. Politics, maybe Clausewitz's aphorism has to be rewritten, that war is politics by other means, and that politics is actually theology by other means. We're talking to Michael Knowles. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country from their daily pain, me included. But not just me, it's people like Alicia from California. This is Alicia's story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees were not getting a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That story should be your story. It could be your story, but there's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack, and it will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know. What have you got to lose? Well, accept the pain. You know it makes sense. Don't wait another moment. Call today, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. We mentioned the lack of certain anatomical features from our side of the political divide that is perhaps the greatest problem we have, because of all the virtues that really matter, it is courage that makes all the other possible. I'd like to bring things up to the present day when you see what's happening with Justice Kavanaugh after the attempted assassination. The same day, the same evening, the demonstrators were there illegally outside his home. We have a putative conservative newly installed as the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, who's saying, we're poised to do something about it. Whilst it is a crime in Virginia to picket a private person's home, let alone a judge, Glenn Youngkin does nothing. As I was told yesterday and sent the screenshot, the Virginia VA.gov website has the pride flag at the top of the website for this month. You're going to fight. You're going to do your YAF speeches. You're going to write books. You're going to do your podcasts. Are we going to win? Are you seeing signs of the requisite valor being demonstrated by enough Americans? Are the Ajaxes going to wake up from their slumbers? What do you see, Michael?
We are going to win if even one or two or three people can muster courage. You see this right now, actually, and not so commonly, in the Council of Catholic Bishops in the United States. It's a scandal right now that Catholic politicians, yes, who make a big show of their devout Catholicism, disagree with the church on unchangeable fundamental matters like abortion and violate the church's teaching, and then they still receive the Eucharist. So this has been a big scandal for many years. And then it was one bishop in Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco, Cor di Leone, that means the heart of a lion, who said, no, as your pastor, as your bishop, I have to tell you, no, you're harming yourself. It's a scandal for the flock. You cannot receive the Eucharist. This was a shock to the system. And then what just happened? We saw bishops in Colorado just yesterday issue a similar statement to their own flock. I hope we'll see more and more of this around the country. It only takes one guy, two guys, three guys. And so I am dismayed to see that the governor of Virginia has allowed these protests, these illegal protests, to go on. It's in violation of federal law. I think it's absolutely a national scandal that federal law enforcement hasn't come up and rounded up these people. They're not going to stop. They're not ashamed of this. They don't worry about the assassination attempt. They encouraged these demonstrations. They've encouraged physical intimidation of conservatives all the way up at the highest levels. Kamala Harris, now the vice president of the United States, was raising money to bail out the criminals during the BLM riots. Maxine Waters, obviously, Hillary Clinton, encouraging this kind of behavior, incivil behavior. So they're doing that. Chuck Schumer, you can't blame him for not following through. He said he would unleash a whirlwind on Brett Kavanaugh, and he did. So we can yell and scream all day about hypocrisy and double standards, but what are we going to do about it? On the happy occasions when we have political power, we have to exercise it. I think what Glenn Youngkin's thinking right now is, gosh, I don't want this to spiral out of control. It's kind of a purple commonwealth, and let's just hope it all passes by. That's not how it works, pal. He's done a good job generally as governor, but show a little courage. If you just go out there and say no, if you come out and you break the law, we're going to arrest you. And if you do it again, we're going to throw you in prison for even longer, and we're not going to tolerate that. That will send a message. You saw it actually just yesterday. A pro-abortion activist got in the way of Joe Biden's motorcade. She was standing for about 5 seconds before she was taken down. Secret Service, cops, they just said no. And when the rules are clear and the rules are enforced, people start to follow them.
Yeah, just a couple of points. How the hell did she get so close to the convoy? And when she was tackled, why did the cops gun the holster? That's okay in Venezuela. It's not okay here in America. But let's address an issue that our mutual friend and your colleague Andrew Klavan always brings up. So the GOP is lost right now. We have political prisoners in solitary confinement just a couple of miles from this studio, and except for a handful of real freedom fighters like Matt Gaetz and Louis Gohmert and MTG, the GOP is doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do we have the requisite institutions? You talked about how the left captured the culture. If we are to win, you're right. Solzhenitsyn said it. Václav Havel said it. One person speaking the truth can make the system collapse. But we also need institutions, cultural institutions, political institutions. Do you see people building those institutions, and can we catch up with the Soroses, the Southern Poverty Law Centers, the Media Matters of the world, who have the money and have the Alinskyite tactics to keep coming at us 24/7?
To the first question, yes, people are trying to build those institutions finally on the right. To the second question, I'm not sure. I don't know that we can catch up. We've fallen a great way. Two nights ago, Joe Biden came on to Jimmy Kimmel's show, and he said that we need to throw our opponents into prison.
The Republicans need to be put in prison as he fails to discuss the assassination attempt on a conservative justice.
Moreover, what happens the next morning? You have a Republican candidate for governor of Michigan arrested by the FBI because of his alleged involvement on the grounds of the Capitol on January 6th, the worst, most terrible event in the history of humanity. So we are inching closer and closer toward a banana republic every single day. You want to talk about two different tracks of justice. It's fitting that in a time when men can identify as women, our oligarchy can identify as a democracy. And this really does happen. I mean, there is a cycle of regimes that takes place. Sometimes republics can decay, and sometimes they can turn into something more akin to an oligarchy. And when you look at the way our government is really run right now, it has far more elements of oligarchy than it does of the Republic of the founding. And so can we reverse that trend? Can we rebuild some virtue and kick out the crooks? I certainly hope we can. But in the meantime, we need to build up our own institutions for our own protection and to preserve at least what culture we can into an uncertain future.
I like that, an oligarchy pretending to be a democracy. That I see a potential book in that, to quote my good friend Chris Plant, who has the morning show on WMAL. I think he has T-shirts to this effect. You know, the trouble with the Democrat Party is it isn't, and he's absolutely right. The book is Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. It is from my publisher, full disclosure, Regnery, the best publisher for conservatives in America today. We are talking to Michael Knowles. Subscribe to his podcast, follow him at Twitter, Michael J. Knowles. And of course, his colleague has this new movie that should be available to everyone with screener links and DVD like we did, 2,000 Mules. Are you listening, Jeremy? Are you listening, Matt? If you're interested in winning the war, it's not just about getting subs for your little empire. It's actually about winning the culture war. So I would love to buy links to the movie that I can share with my friends. So let me just plant that seed. In the meantime, the Disinformation Governance Board may be on ice, and Nina Crazy Eyes Jankowicz may be out of a job, but they're not giving up, and they are assaulting our freedom of speech every single day. That's why I am delighted, and that's why I have switched to Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America. They have the same cell phone towers as the big guys, but they're on your side. They do not undermine your freedom of speech. They don't give in to Nancy's subpoenas like Verizon did with my phone records. Join those who love America like you do. They have plans to fit every budget, extra discounts for veterans and first responders. If you use my name, you'll get free activation. Just call 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. They're U.S.-based. Customer service team is superb. You can keep your old number. It's so easy to switch. Don't wait another minute, and don't fund those who hate you and what you stand for. Join the good guys. 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. So someone who's a colleague of yours and a friend of mine said that the only trouble with Michael Knowles, apart from making money out of an empty book, is the fact and having the best cigars. The third problem with Michael Knowles is that he should be in politics. So I ask you now, in front of 3 million listeners, when are you running for public office to show us what courage looks like, Knowles?
Well, Seb, do you have an office that you're suggesting?
I would never impose my druthers on you. I believe in conservative autonomy of choice, but I'm asking you, do you hanker? You said at the beginning, one of the most important things you can do is to be part of a political campaign. Well, dude, how about doing it for real?
I tell you, I won't even give you a politician answer here. I would strongly consider it. I would.
Wow.
I think it's a good calling. But I wouldn't do it just to be a congressman. I wouldn't do it just to be.
Don't be a senator, because they, apart from one person, Marshall Blackburn, they're all a bunch of egotistical.
They can get a little swampy.
Oxygen thieves. They every single one of them thinks they're going to be president, and you're not. I'm sorry. Just stop it with the ego, okay? And you could commit suicide by jumping off your ego onto your IQ. So don't be a senator. If you don't want to be a representative, then what are you hankering for? Governor?
A governor wouldn't be so bad. If there were, listen, I love my governor here in the state of Tennessee. He's doing a great job. I would strongly consider running for office. I'm not totally opposed to it. I would take a pay cut. I'd take a lot more slings and arrows. In many ways, my quality of life would get a lot worse.
Yeah.
But I do think it's very important, and it's important for people to run for office who have real conviction, who are willing to stand up and take the slings and arrows and not squish and not concede the entire culture to the left. And I don't want to do it just to do it. So if an opportunity presents itself, Seb, if either my country or my friend Seb Gorka come calling, then I would certainly strongly consider
it. Well, I've got your number. I may just text you. But I do agree. The only thing I'm interested in is governor. That's a real job. That's something you can get done. So, Glenn, watch your back. In the meantime, I'm going to flip it, like Benito del Toro says in Usual Suspects. Flip it! The most important thing you can do, all of you listening, is to run for local office, just like my wife did for the local community center board. I don't care whether it's the county commissioner. I don't care whether it's the local library council. The left took away America from us by stealing it one local election at a time. So don't just listen to talk radio. Don't just watch Michael's podcast. Get engaged, because if you're not, I'm sorry, you're part of the problem. The book is Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. God bless you, dude. Next time it's in person, it is with a cigar. You've been listening to America First one-on-one with Michael J. Knowles. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America with Sebastian Gorka.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Of the hours of the fake, illicit January 6th committee public hearings yesterday, none of the coverage, none of the clips mentioned that. I wonder why, because it explodes the narrative that they are trying to build. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, and this is America First on the Salem Network. Yes, I sat down and I watched that tawdry star chamber. One first word of advice for the individual who's been in Congress for 30 years, who is the chairman of that committee. Don't be boring. If you're going to be the chairman of a committee, Benny Johnson, you shouldn't be boring. Likewise, learn to actually speak the phrases that pertain to your job. You bring a session to order, not at order. What a bunch of amateurs. We will discuss all that you need to know. But the big disappointment is, well, there was no there. We were promised so much new revelations. I don't know. Who in our team watched it? I know Mr. G watched it. Eric, did you watch the hearing yesterday? Were you too busy doing something actually relevant to the world?
I was doing something far more exciting and far more important. I was watching paint dry.
I'm not surprised. That's a good choice. Mr. G, how long did you last?
No, I watched the whole thing. It was a disappointment. I mean, I was actually looking forward to it. Remember, we talked about
yes.
that yesterday. I thought they were going to go all in a little bit more. It was very boring. It's way too drawn out. And they're trying to do seven of these. There's no way that the average person's going to tune in every week.
I need to ask you this. When Liz Cheney started saying, oh, and through the next versions of this over the coming weeks, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven sessions, do you think after they get the viewing figures for yesterday, they're actually going to have another six of these?
That's what I'm really interested in is I think a lot of people did just out of curiosity. I want to see after the second one how much they've decreased the ratings from the first one. That's what I want to see.
Because we were told there would be revelations. Was there anything new there apart from Mark Milley? Was there anything new?
No, even the stupid video that they came up with, I have seen at least half of that before. It was different angles.
Yes.
Like the Senate, the first time it was breached, I've seen that 100 times
right.
just because they had the top view. Who cares?
And at the beginning when, Benny said, and I warn you, about the language from this clip. And what was it? Bill Barr said BS. I mean, really, this is, you know, the party that talks about blowing up the White House and they worried about impeaching the MF-er, but no, BS is a naughty word. All right, I'm going to share with you guys right now the only important thing from yesterday's hearing, and it's a real shocker. No, it is. But they don't realize this is what you would call a buried lead in a story. So they played numerous clips of subpoenaed interviews. And the fascinating thing is they were all incredibly clipped. Ivanka Trump, Jared, Bill Barr, these 10, 15-second clips, which is strange. If you've subpoenaed somebody and they've come in for 6, 7, 8, 10 hours of witness testimony, and the most salacious clip you've got is 15 seconds of Ivanka saying, "Yes, I listened to Bill Barr." That's the best you've got, Nancy? Seriously? But there was one clip from that overweight disgrace to the U.S. Army, Mark Milley, that is the real story that nobody's talking about. This is cut 6. Play cut.
There were two or three calls with Vice President Pence. He was very animated, and he issued very explicit, very direct, unambiguous orders. There was no question about that. And I can get you the exact quotes, I guess, from some of our records somewhere, but he was very animated, very direct, very firm and to Secretary Miller. Get the military down here, get the guard down here, put down this situation, et cetera.
So the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, under sworn testimony, tells that on January 6, he had multiple calls with Vice President Pence, who was issuing orders, explicit, direct, unambiguous, quote-unquote, orders, to the acting Secretary of Defense and the National Guard to move troops. Now that is a bombshell of atomic proportions. Why? Because according to the U.S. Constitution, the Vice President doesn't have command authority. He can't tell the Secretary of Defense to move one private 6 inches to the left, let alone move troops and the National Guard into the nation's capital. The Constitution is very clear. Even the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley, the overweight disgrace that you are, even he has zero command authority. He is not in the chain of command. The National Security Act that was brought in 1947 that created the modern Defense Department, the National Security Council, the CIA, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, is explicit. The most senior military officer in America, the chairman, is an advisor to the Commander-in-Chief. The Commander-in-Chief is the President and nobody else. It's not the Speaker of the House. It's not the Vice President. It is the man elected by tens of millions of Americans. On January the 6th, it was my boss, President Trump. So under what authority was the Vice President? Look, on a good, let's be honest. The Vice President, you know, goes to funerals, kisses babies. He's there as the spare wheel if something bad happens to the President. That's what a Vice President does. They give them sinecures. Pence ran the Space Council because he's into space. Cool. But really, it's a sinecure empty job. It's a thankless job for 4 years to be the person that's shoved off to the less important countries to go and meet Prime Minister X and Y. So what the hell was Mike Pence doing giving orders to the Pentagon? There's only one scenario in which Mike Pence could order anybody. If the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution had been invoked, and if two-thirds of the cabinet, including the Speaker of the House and the Vice President, voted to remove the President from office. That didn't happen on January the 6th. there was no enactment of the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump. He was president on January 6th. He was president on January 7th. He was president until January the 20th at 11:59, at which point, at midday, the senile old man who we're supposed to believe got 81 million votes as he campaigned from his basement, when he was sworn in. So here's the big take-home from yesterday's farrago, yesterday's clown show and cavalcade. There was an insurrection on January 6th, and that insurrection involved the Vice President, Mike Pence, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, and anyone who obeyed his illegal and illicit and unconstitutional orders. I think we should have an investigation of that, in addition to the price of gas. The record inflation, 8.6%, that was announced today, the highest in 40 years. The open border, the 2 million illegal refugees, the disaster in Afghanistan. Those are subjects that are worthy of a congressional investigation, because there was an insurrection, and Mike Pence was at the heart of it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Subscribe today. Go to Spotify. Never miss an episode of America First One-on-One. This is the Salem News Channel. Next, Julie Kelly on yesterday's Star Chamber.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.